Today I'm going to continue on the message called It's All Jesus. The subtitle is going to be called A Revelation of Redemption. A Revelation of Redemption. Amen. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22. Turn there real quick. Holy Spirit, I thank you so much today for helping me to teach the word of God today. Think through my mind and speak through my lips. Allow the word of my mouth, the meditation of my heart to be acceptable. Lord, I pray, Lord God, for grace today. As the word is spoken, that it might minister grace to the hearers and edify them and build them up, Lord God, that as they leave out of this place, God, they feel like the millionaire that they are, the healthy, strong, vibrant person that they are. In the name of Jesus, they experience shalom, nothing missing, nothing broken, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Now, before we go to 1 Corinthians 15 and 22, just hold your finger there. Tell your neighbor, Pastor got to obey Claude. Pastor got to obey God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sometimes dumb stuff come out your mouth. Amen. You got to get it fixed right fast. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. Turn it right quick. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. Now, this is very important. Tell your neighbor, say, Midrash. Now, watch this right here. On the count of three, I want us all to read verse 7 together. One, you there? Everybody? If you don't have a Bible, please raise your hand. It's important that you have one. If you do not have a Bible, make sure they have Bibles. Amen? A man or a woman of God without a Bible is like a soldier on the front line without his gun. Every day of your life, you're on the front line. Amen. You ready, Tony? You ready, Tony? You ready? Amen. I said that for a reason. Amen. You ready, Doc Hall? You ready? You ready, George? Amen. Sometimes I do that. I'm keeping myself so I can remember names and stuff like that. You ready, Pastor Claude? I'm ready. Proverbs 23, verse 7. Let's read it. Count of three. One, two, three. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Stop right there. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, as we start this message, I want you to realize this, that you and I are, we are a direct reflection of how we think. The word heart there literally means the mind, okay? It's not talking about your human spirit. Your thinking is done in your intellect, okay? Now, watch this right here. Thinking and believing are synonymous. Do your study. Study the Webster's Dictionary. You're going to find out that thinking and believing are one and the same. So thinking and believing happens in the mind. I know we're taught that it happens in the human spirit, but it happens in the mind. Faith is a product of our human spirit as we think and we believe God's word on a consistent basis. That means if I have a paradigm, if I have a thought that I have that's been fortified in my mind of poverty, guess what? It doesn't matter what anybody else around me is experiencing or trying to expose me to. I won't change until I change in here. Come on, somebody say amen. If I've been raised up where I believe that sickness and that disease is God teaching me, amen. Guess what? It doesn't matter how many Benny Hinn's come to town, how many Creflo's and Joyce Meyer's, how many Pastor Claus preach on healing being a part of the redemptive plan of God. Guess what? As I think in here, so am I. I am a direct reflection of what I think. So it could be that I'm wanting somebody to pray something off of me that I fortified in me. Come on, somebody say amen to this. I'm going somewhere with this. I could be trying to get somebody to pray with me about something that I've fortified in me. So I want healing because somebody else said healing, but I don't have a revelation of healing, and I don't believe in my heart or in my mind. So guess what? Two can't walk together except they be agreed. So that person could be believing with all their heart for me, but I don't believe in my heart. So when we pray together, there's no result that is good. Because I don't think the thing. I don't believe the thing. Come on, somebody say amen. Now watch where we're going with this. We're going to change our paradigm. 1 Corinthians 15 and 22. When you get there, somebody say praise the Lord. For as in Adam, all die. I want you to circle in Adam. In Adam. How many die? All die. Watch this now. Even so, in Christ shall all be made alive. Now I want you to circle in Christ. How many is going to be made alive? Okay, now the question is, if you're in Christ, raise up your hands today. Now, let's start changing how we think. Because even though we're in Christ, we don't have a revelation of the redemptive plan of God. So we're still carrying over the in Adam realities rather than the in Christ realities. Here's what I'm saying. And I'm going to paint them clearly to you. Here's what I'm saying. This is what the Spirit of God spoke to me. He said to me, he said, what we have done, son, is we have brought the old man into the church. And we put a suit on him, put some gaiters on him, dressed him up, and put a couple of Christian cliches in his mouth. And we've mistaken him as a believer. But that's the old man whose mind is not being renewed. You got to catch what I'm saying. See, God wants to renovate our thinking. Let me tell you something right here. What it means to renovate, if you ever been a person that ever did any kind of renovation, it means that God wants to get all of that old stuff out. He wants to get all of that old stuff out. Come on. See, the Bible told, God told Joshua, he said, look here, Joshua. He said, no man is going to be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so shall I also be with you. I will not fail you. And then he says something supernaturally powerful right here. He told him, he said, you got to be strong and you got to be courageous. See, in order for us to go over into the promised land, we got to be strong and we got to be courageous. Strong in what we believe. We got to fortify our belief system. Amen. Because let me tell you what's going to happen. When the pastor believes that every last person in here is supposed to be healed and be a millionaire, and all of a sudden the staff believe everybody's supposed to be healed and be a millionaire, and all of a sudden it pours down into the church, guess what? We're going to have a bunch of healed millionaires in the church when we get everybody's thinking changed. But amen, if you're walking in the spirit one day and walking in the flesh the other day, the Bible calls you double-minded. And the Bible said, let not that man think that he'll receive anything of the Lord. Come on, somebody say amen. Now we going somewhere with this. Watch this right here. 1 Corinthians 15, move down to 45 through 49. Keep this in your heart. All that are in Adam will die. All that are in Christ shall be made alive. Forget what even some preachers said. The Bible said all men shall be made alive. 1 Corinthians 15, 49, 45 through 49. Look what it says. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam. Now stop right there. It says the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. And the last Adam was made a life-giving or a quickening spirit. Notice that the Bible is identifying Jesus with the first man, Adam. Now here's something that we gotta etch this in stone. We got to etch this in stone. Now, tell your neighbor, I'm going to throw the meat out there first, and then we're going to reel it back to me, and I'm going to explain it. Okay? Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, I am just like Jesus. I am just like Jesus. Come on, say it one more time. I am just like Jesus. See, some people kick you out of church for saying something like that. But here's what I want to show you. We have no problem identifying with the first Adam, but we have a problem identifying with the last Adam. We identify with the first Adam's fall. But you forget that Adam was created even in a more supernatural realm than what Jesus was. Jesus came out of a womb, but Adam was made out of dust. You got to catch what I'm saying here. So the first man, Adam, was a supernatural being. And this is who we have to identify with. Jesus came as the last Adam to show us how the first Adam is supposed to live. But because our thinking has been tainted since the fall of man, now we are recovering what we originally were intended to have. Are you catching what I'm saying? Howbeit, that was not first which was spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. Verse 47, the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Look at verse 48. As is the earthly, so are they that are also earthly. And as is the heavenly, such are they that are heavenly. 49. And as we have born. Somebody say born. Now this word born means wore as clothing. As we have wore as clothing the image of the earthly, we shall also wear as clothing the image of the heavenly. What this whole scripture is talking about is identification. Somebody say identification. Before we move on, all mankind is identified with either the first Adam or the last Adam. all of mankind. There's no in-between line. Either you walk in the realities of the first man, Adam, and I'm going to show you what they are in a minute, or you walk in the in Christ realities, and I'm going to show you what those are in a minute. The word identify, or identified, study it for yourself. It means to regard as the same. When you are identified with Christ, you are recognized or regarded as the same. Take your neighbor, say, neighbor, I am in Christ. So all of mankind are identified with one or the other. Now, I want you to write some things down, and we want to paint these things to you clearly. The Bible said, in Adam shall all men die. In Adam, there is what we call the curse. The word curse literally means degrading words. Everything that you and I see was created out of words. Everything that you and I see. The Bible said, in the beginning was the Word, John chapter 1. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all things that were made by him, and not one thing that was made without him. So everything we see was made by words. Another scriptural validation, Hebrews chapter 11. The Bible says this right here. Now we understand through faith that the worlds were framed or set in order by the Word of God, so that things that are made were not made by things which do appear, but by things which do not appear. That means everything you and I see was made by word. Everything we see was made by word. So if we can change our word, we can change our lives. What is a word? A word is an exposed thought. What is a thought? An unexposed word. What is the thought? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So if I could change my word or my thought, I could change my life. Now watch this. In Adam, we experience the curse, the degrading words. We experience sickness. Come on, somebody say sickness. In Adam, we experience poverty. Come on, somebody say poverty. Walk with me. In Adam, we experience disease. In Adam, we experience lack. In Adam, we experience confusion. In Adam, we experience darkness. In Adam, we experience death. Now, in Christ, we experience what is called the blessing. Rather than the curse, we experience the blessing. Listen, and I'm going to show it to you in Scripture. The blessing is not contingent upon what you do, because what you do is contingent upon you being under the law. But now that you're under grace, the blessing is upon you. You got to catch what I'm saying. My God. Take your name and say, neighbor, the blessing is on me. What is the blessing? Now, let's talk about this just for a minute. Take your neighbor and say, first words. When I first met my wife, I wanted to be careful the words that came out of my mouth. You remember the Dandruff commercial? You only get one shot at this. When you go on a date, that's why it's funny that they got all these dating movies and stuff like that. People go out on camera in front of everybody and they start dating. And some people just got some goofy words that they say. So would you agree that first words are extremely important? If you value the thing that you're trying to obtain, first words are important. God's first words to man was in Genesis 1:28. Genesis 1:26, God said, let us make man after our image and after our likeness and let him have dominion. Now, he's talking, speaking to the Godhead. But then in verse 28, this is what he says. He says, and God blessed them and said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion. So God released the blessing. Somebody said he released the blessing. Now, you have to realize this was the agent of restoration, the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, that was released upon this man, this blessing, and this blessing was to carry out from the Garden of Eden throughout the entire population of the earth, to be fruitful, to multiply, to replenish, to subdue, and to have dominion. Now, watch this. God did not make a mistake. God is not on plan B. God didn't have to sit down one day and scratch his head and say, oh, my God, man failed. What am I going to do? God knew that Jesus was going to be slain before the foundation of the world. God knew the whole plan of redemption before you and I ever surfaced on planet Earth. Come on, somebody say amen. So that blessing was released. As that blessing was released, we could see God recovering this blessing in Genesis through the life of Noah. Genesis 12 through the life of Abraham. God was repopulating the earth with his people. He told Abraham, he said, look here. He said, Abraham, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to make you a blessing. And out of you, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. Whoever blesses you, I'll bless them. Whoever curses you, I'll curse them. This was the power of the blessing that was upon Abraham's life. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, verses 1 through 15, we see the blessing. He said, look here, if you follow my word, he said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to set you up on Elohim. I'm going to set you up on Elohim, up on high. I'm going to put you in partnership with me. And he said, in all nations, you're going to be above them. He said, you're going to be blessed coming in, blessed going out, blessed in your body, blessed in your basket, blessed in the storehouse, the fruit of your womb, the fruit of your labor. Everything is going to be bless. Come on, somebody said bless. Yeah. This is what it meant to walk in union with God. But because when Adam fell, man was separated from God. He said, when you eat of that tree, you're going to die. You're going to die. But he ate of it and he didn't die naturally, but he was died. He was separated from God. That's what the definition of death is, to be separated. So he separated from God. And now all of a sudden he lost his glory coat. He lost his ability to see himself the way he saw himself in God. He lost his ability to restore and bring everything that was out of order back into order. Are you catching what I'm saying? Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, he's talking about us. So he lost the blessing. But when Jesus came, he said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He restored man back to his original intention. And I'm going to show this to you in the word of God. This is very important. You getting something? To be in Christ means that you were crucified with him. Tell your neighbor, say, I was crucified with him. Galatians 2 and 20 means right here. This is powerful. Because when we talk about the cross of Christ, we always see Jesus on the cross and we don't identify mankind being on the cross with him. Say, I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Come on. Yet not I who live, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. Now watch this. The Law Books translation says this right here. It said that Christ took me to the cross, and there I died. Who is he talking about died? The old you. The old sinful nature. The old person that keep hanging you up. Tell your neighbor. He was hung up for your hang-ups. That's powerful right there. The Distilled Bible says this right here. It says, I consider myself now being dead. Say, I consider myself. See, you got to consider. Do you know what one of the words for consider is? Is you got to see it. It's not enough for God to see it. You have to see that the old you died when he died. This is powerful. He said, I consider myself now being dead. He said, and I'm enjoying a new existence, a second existence, which is Jesus using my body. This is some powerful stuff right here. Amen. Some of this stuff will get you in trouble. Tell your neighbor, Jesus wants to use your body. The Bible calls us vessels of honor, meet for the master's use. See, there are certain vessels that are just not meet for the master's use. You got to catch what I'm saying. If you come over to my house and I got glass in my house and I go to pour you some water, like the other day, I poured my daughter some water and there was a floaty swimming around and like this. She said, Dad, there's something in there. So we dumped it out and we got another glass. Amen. See, that's how God is. Amen. If there's some floaties around, he wants to use a vessel that is honorable. Come on, somebody say amen. Here's the problem. In the mind of God, you are honorable. But you got to consider it yourself. You got to see that you're honorable. Come on, somebody say amen. Now watch this right here. In Christ, you and I both were buried through baptism. I'm not going to go to every scripture because I got something I got to get out about redemption. To be buried through baptism literally means to be assimilated into the body of Jesus and become one. This is powerful. So the picture is that when he died on the cross, you and I died with him. When he was buried, you and I were buried with him and we became one. And when he rose, we rose with him. According to Colossians 2 and 12, we rose according to the operation of the working of the Spirit of God. When he rose from the dead, you and I rose from the dead. New creatures in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. If any man or woman be where? In Christ. He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Watch this word right here. Behold. My God. Let's just go there so you can see it for yourself. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. Turn there. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. This is important that you see this. Look what it says. Therefore, if any man be in Christ. Tell your neighbor, say, I am in Christ. He is what? Now, the word new creature literally means one that has never, ever existed before. Come on, say it. Say, I'm a new creature. I've never existed before. This is what you got to get, because this is far beyond tradition right here. This is kingdom right here. Now, watch this right here. He says right here, old things are past. What? That old nature is gone. Say that one time. Say, that old nature is gone. What's the next word? Come on, say it loud. What's the next word? What's the next word? Come on, say it loud. What's the next word? Say it one more time. What's the next word? What does behold mean? It means to see. It means to consider. All things are new. See, it ain't a problem with God seeing who you are. The problem is when you don't see who you are. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. One other word for thinketh is perceive. Perceive means the way you see things. How do you see them? It doesn't matter what everybody else see about you. It matters what you see about you. You could be the poorest person in the neighborhood, but if you get the beholding. This is why the psalmist said in Psalm 27, he said, one thing have I desired of the Lord. One thing, not two or three or four or five. Some people want a car and a house and they want this and they want that. But he said, I want one thing. He said, I want to dwell in the house of the Lord and behold the beauty of the Lord. You got to catch what I'm saying. There's something about beholding. 2 Corinthians 3 and 18 says, we are with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed. Are you catching this right here? See, the more that you and I begin to see things the way God sees things, that's where the change comes in. Glory to God. My pages are ripped. Here we go. Take him and say, behold, all things have become new. So we were crucified with him. Say, I was crucified with him. I was buried with him. I was assimilated into the body of Jesus. I'm one with Jesus. I was raised up with Jesus. And now according to Ephesians 1 and 20, come on, and Ephesians 2 and 6, I'm seated with Christ. I'm seated. Do you see yourself seated? Let me paint an image of what it is to be seated before we move on. To be seated means to have authority, to have power. The word right hand means equal authority, equal power, equal dignity. When you and I sat down in Christ, the same anointing that was on Jesus is upon us. See, we got to teach this identification thing to the body of Christ so we can stop begging God for stuff that's already a part of our inheritance. Come on, somebody say amen to this. We got to teach this identification stuff to people that are in the body of Christ so we can see ourselves the way that God wants us to see. See, the whole reason why they couldn't get into the promised land is because the way they saw themselves. They went in there and it was like, look at here. We're weaklings and they're giants. We're grasshoppers and they're giants. And see, guess what? We'll never be able to take the seven mountains if we don't see ourselves the way God sees us. So it's important for you and I to start beholding. 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 This is very important right here. There's nothing more important than this word of God right here. There's no job, there's no family member, there's no event, there's no nothing more important than this word right here. Come on, somebody say amen. There's nothing more important than this word. That's why we have a process called intimacy. Somebody say intimacy, identity, and then destiny. Because as Americans, we chase destiny, but God wants us to chase intimacy. Because out of our intimacy with God, he'll show us our identity. And out of our identity, our assignment or destiny will emerge. Are you catching what I'm saying here? This is powerful right here. So there's nothing more important than fellowshipping with God in the word and in prayer and confessing the word and meditating the word. Are you catching what I'm saying? We got to move on. We got to move on. Here we go. Hey, neighbor said, neighbor's going to get thick. Now, through the cross of his blood, you and I have been redeemed. To understand what happened at the cross, that we were crucified, we were buried, we were risen, and we were seated. The work of the cross. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, it's called the finished work of the cross. The finished. Luke chapter 19, John chapter 19, Jesus said, it is finished. The finished work of the cross. Now look at Colossians 1 and 14. Turn it right quick. Colossians 1 and 14. I'm going to get you guys to say these things with me real fast, and then we're going to move on, okay? Now, who in here is identifying with Jesus today? Come on, raise your hands up. This is powerful right here. You're identifying with Jesus today. My God. I mean, I think I'm gonna say some more, you know. In Christ, we see the blessing. Instead of sickness, we experience wholeness. Instead of poverty, we experience prosperity. Instead of disease, we experience health. Instead of lack, we experience abundance. Instead of confusion, we experience wisdom. Instead of darkness, we experience light. Instead of death, we experience life. We're in Christ. So why is it that we're in Christ and we're still experiencing sickness and poverty and disease? It's because of what we're beholding. Because you think that your sickness and you, not yours, you think that sickness and you think that prosperity has something to do with you. Has nothing to do with you. Has nothing to do with me. I can't get ahead of myself. Just stay in your seat and hold with Pastor Claude just for a minute so I can show it to you out of the Word of God. Colossians 1 and 14. On the count of three, let's read it. 1, 2, 3. In whom we have, through his, even the forgiveness of sins. In him we do what? We have. We're not going to get. We have redemption. Galatians 3, 13 and 14. Turn there right quick. Galatians 3, 13 and 14. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, Midrash. Galatians 3, 13 and 14. We're going to walk you through this thing. Just somebody say, praise the Lord. This is some powerful stuff right here, y'all. Galatians 3, 13 and 14. Look what it says here. It says, let's read it together on count of three. 1, 2, 3. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. First three words, Christ hath redeemed. Not going to redeem, hath redeemed. Tell your neighbor, say, I have been redeemed. Now, this is powerful. He redeemed us from what? The curse of the law. You can see the curse of the law in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 15 on. He talks about the botch. He talks about this, and he talks about confusion of mind and going insane and all this other stuff like that. That is a part of the curse. Don't bring the curse over into Christ. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, don't bring the curse over into Christ. Why? Let me show you something. If you recognize it's a part of the curse, you and I realize that because of this verse right here, we have power over it because we've been redeemed from it. That means we don't have to accept it. Here's what I mean. There are people, because they don't know their inheritance, they can't walk in their inheritance. I'm not speaking spiritually. I'm speaking naturally. Naturally. People find out 20 or 30 years later that somebody in their family was a millionaire. And because of their lack of knowledge, they weren't able to walk in their full potential. Here's what I'm trying to say. Because of lack of knowledge, we have not been able to walk in our full potential. Now that you and I, watch this, after this message today, we've been redeemed. We have the ability to stand up and fight the good of fight of faith and tell the devil no. I will not accept it. It does not belong to me. Poverty does not belong to me. I don't care what my mom and father did. I'm going to fight it. I don't care what the bank account says. I'm going to fight it. I don't care what the doctor report said. I'm going to fight it. Why? Because it's not a part of my in Christ inheritance. Are you catching what I'm saying here? But some people are called to be poor. No, that's a lie from the pit of hell. Being poor causes obesity. Obesity causes diabetes. Diabetes causes death. You better catch what I'm saying. That's a part of the curse. HIV is a part of the curse. You got to catch what I'm saying. Living paycheck to paycheck is a part of the curse. The Bible said, I'll set you up on high. We got to elevate as a man thinketh. So is he. So you got to get so mad at what's going on in your life that you start pulling this word out. Because the Holy Ghost told me, he said, Claude, when you make this transition, you got to start talking up to people. I can't talk down to people no more. I can't be telling everybody, oh, I understand what you're going through. No, baby, you better fight the good fight of faith. Get up off your butt. Get up in that word. Get to confessing that word. Say what God say. Quit complaining because you're not creating because you're complaining. You catching what I'm saying? Everybody in this building has God-like potential to create and to be everything that God called you to be. Nothing or no one can stop you. Baby, you can have whatever car you want, whatever house you want, whatever husband you want, whatever wife you want. You can have what you say. You got to catch what I'm saying. You've been redeemed. You've been redeemed. The devil don't like it, and I don't care. The word redemption means the purchase back of something that had been lost by the payment of a ransom. To not walk in full and total prosperity is to smack Jesus in the face, hanging on a cross and say your death was not enough. To not walk in the full potential of healing is to smack Jesus in the face. You got to catch what I'm saying. You and I got to get some fight on the inside of us. Don't just settle for some old little bitty thing. Come on now. Come on, tell him to say, think big. Your God thinks big. Your God thinks big. Let me tell you how big he thinks. Somebody came down through the roof and Jesus said, son, your sins are forgiven. Well, God had a whole mental Rolodex of what he was going to do for him, because the religious people stood up and said, oh, you being a man, you can't do that. Jesus said, homeboy, which one do you want me to do? Forgive his sins or tell him take up your bed? But so that you might know that man has dominion. Get up. Walk. That's what I'm saying. I'm telling you right now, you got dominion. Get up and walk. Get up and go get your inheritance. The Bible said he coming back for the church without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. He ain't coming back for somebody hiding in the cave talking about, please, Lord Jesus, come. No, baby, he coming back for somebody that got some victory. Somebody that's to navigate it through that word of God, understand the redemptive plan and said, this is who I am. This is what I have. He died for it. It's mine, and I'm getting mine. The word redemption can be defined in three words. It's about to get deep now. Three words. Write these words down. Don't you walk out of here without writing these words down. Three words: release, recovery, and restoration. You have been released from every chain. I'm a decree it over you today. Every bondage, every fetter, you've been released from sickness. You've been released from disease. You've been released from poverty. I'm going to say it over you. You've been released from lack. You've been released from divorce. You've been released from bondage. You've been released. Come on, somebody say, I am released. The word release means to free from confinement, bondage, and obligation to pain. You are no longer obligated to live up under that pain of your past. You've been released. You've been redeemed. Are you catching what I'm saying here? Come on, you got to say that. I'm released. I'm released. I'm released. I'm released. There's a shift happening right now. I'm telling you, there's a shift happening right now. A shift, because guess what? You know how this church going to fill up? When you see that release operating in your life, and all of your neighbors and all of your co-workers see that you are released. See that that thing that held you, you ain't being held no longer. Ain't no chain, ain't no fetter can hold you. You've been released. Ah! This is powerful. The second word is recovery. Recovery has to deal with your sight. The regaining of something lost or taken away. It's dealing with your sight, your ability to see supernaturally. See, you are a supernatural being. Come on, say that. Say, I'm a supernatural being. I'm not a mere man. I have been reinstated. My ability to see what God wants me to see. See, Adam lost his ability to see. I'm going to go somewhere with this at the end. The last one is restoration. Before we go to tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, I've regained my ability to see. things God's way. My God. You know what that means? This is powerful. You know what that means? Write this scripture down. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. Write that down. The Bible says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things, what things? That God hath prepared for them that look. See, God has prepared some things for you. And it's going to take you to have recovery of sight to see them. That's a part of your redemptive plan. Now watch this right here. Say, neighbor, say, neighbor. This came from the Holy Ghost. The third one. Somebody say, restoration. I'm going to take the first four letters in that word. I want you to underline them and tell your neighbor, what does it say? Rest. Before we talk about restoration, let's talk about rest. See, Hebrews chapter 4 teaches us what true rest is. Rest is the ability to cease from your own efforts, to cease from your own works. It means to stop toiling. It means to stop laboring and take your... Give me that chair right here. It means to stop toiling and stop laboring and to sit down and rest. Take your seat as a king. You've been seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Right now, you are far above principality and might and dominion and every name that has ever been named. Glory be to God. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, you can rest. That means cease from your own works. See, I'm going to say something powerful. Help me, Holy Ghost. Everything in the kingdom of God is received. It's not toiled for. It's not labored for. See, I don't consider pastoring a church work because it's not toil. It came out of me. See, if you called to be a business owner, you could run a multi-million-dollar corporation. It won't be work to you. Why? Because it came out of you. You gotta get jobs separated from purpose. See, that which I'm put here to do, you can't put in the category of work. You can't put it in the category of just over broke job. You can't put it in the category of just something I'm doing to get a little paycheck to be able to survive and pay my light bill. What I'm here to do will provide for me everything that God has for me. See, when I build you up, guess what? You ain't going to have no problem giving. You ain't going to have no problem. Let pastor drive the best car. Let pastor live in the best house. You better catch the sufferings that I'm going through right now are not reckoned to be compared with the glory that's going to be revealed. See, as that glory is revealed in you, guess what? It's going to be revealed in me. Amen. You better catch what I'm saying here. Somebody say restoration. Now catch this. The word restore means the return of something to its former, original, and unimpaired condition. That means, guess what? When Jesus died on the cross, you was released. That means every single obligation of pain of your past has been broken. When Jesus died on the cross, you received recovery of sight. That means you have the ability to see what you were supposed to see in the beginning. Are you catching? You shouldn't just be doing what everybody else is. Can I speak up here today? Hey, if somebody else got a job at Taco Bell, you shouldn't want to be a job at, you own Taco Bell. Get your thinking up. Somebody else. If secular artists can buy basketball teams, what can we do? Can I talk about prosperity just for a minute? Nobody get mad at it because everybody missed church because they need some money. Let's talk about it just for a minute. Amen. See, God wants to prosper you. God wants you to be the best. He wants you to look the best. He wants you to dress the best, drive the best, live the best. Why? Because it's like he's showing off through his kids. See, when my daughter get up here and sing and the anointing hit her, I stand back and I cry because it make me look good. When my daughter's running the children ministry and they do a good job and somebody say, guess what, something good happened in the children ministry, I smile because it make me look good. Well, baby, when you pull up in that brand new car, God smiles because it make him look good. When your body is healed, when the devil done told you you can't be healed and everybody else know you can't be healed, guess what? God smiles because it make him look good. Tell your neighbor, say, I've been redeemed. So you got to change the way you're thinking. I'm speaking up to you. You've been released. You've been released from every obligation of pain. You don't have to stay there no longer. You have been redeemed by the blood. You have received recovery of sight. That means you can see what other people can't see. You have the ability to tap into heaven before you go to heaven. Are you hearing what I'm saying? and you have been restored. Now, how do we get it? Let's walk in here. It's already ours. Say, it's already ours. Turn to Isaiah 61. I'm going to prove it to you. Take your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'll never be the same after today. I'll never be the same after today. See, that's why you got to pray for your pastor, because guess what? As we've been fasting until the Lord started revealing this to me. Amen. I said, Lord, show these three words to me in the word. Let's look at it. Isaiah 61. The Bible said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath what? Anointed me. Now, I want you to circle the word anointed. Here's how you can indicate if a man or a woman of God is anointed. To preach what? If they ain't preaching good news, they ain't anointed. I'm going to say it again. If they ain't preaching good news, I don't care how many prophecy Bibles they got and how much they talking about the earth going to burn up and shatter. If they ain't preaching good news, they ain't anointed. Listen, I don't care how much tragedy happened on planet earth, and ain't going to touch you. I'm going to tell you right now, I can go through the Bible, and we can midrash, we can navigate through the Bible, and we can go back and forth, and I can show you. Amen. When all of Egypt had the botch and they had the 10 plagues, guess what? The children of Israel were sitting back eating turkey legs because they had the blood. You better catch what I'm saying. There's some power in the blood. You've been redeemed by the blood of his cross. So when everybody else is getting touched, baby, you can tell the devil, you can't touch this. I got a covenant. Stop right there. Stop right there. It don't matter what's happening in the world. It cannot come nigh you. The Bible says this right here. 1,000 will fall at your side. 10,000 at your own right hand. But it shall not come nigh you. Only with your eyes will you behold and see the reward of the wicked all around you. Why? Because you made the Lord, who is your refuge, even my habitation, your place of refuge. And there shall no evil befall you, and no plague come nigh your dwelling. That's the Bible. I don't care what so-and-so said. That's what the Bible said. Are you catching what I'm saying? Tell your neighbor, say, I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed. See, that's why, guess what? If you're having problems with your faith, you need to grab somebody else who's been redeemed. Say, you know what? I'm tired of this right now. I'm putting my foot down on this devil's neck right now, and I need your help. It's why we got to be one. We got to be unified as a church. We can't afford to be at home eating chicken and talking about everybody. We can't afford to be doing that no more, because strife and contention gets in the house. There's every evil work. That's an open door to get Satan inside there and rob you of your inheritance. Are you catching what I'm saying? Here we go. I'm going to be done right here. The Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. Good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up what? The brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. Now, I'm going to go over here to the book of Luke. Hallelujah. Chapter 4. I want you to turn there. Verse 18 and 19. I want you to see the Lord Jesus quoting this scripture, because you need to know what happened. Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, Jesus was in the water being baptized by John the Baptist, his cousin. Somebody say his cousin. My God. Can I drop a little nugget on y'all today? Can I do that right quick? Have you ever asked a question and say, how come the Bible don't talk about Jesus when he was 13 to 29? Have you ever asked that question? A little kid asked me that question, and I'm going to reveal it to you today, what I believe the Spirit of God told me. You ready for this? Okay. Because you only see Jesus at 12 years old in the temple having midrash, and then you see him at 30 years old. How come we don't see him from 13 to 29? I'm going to bless your socks off. The closer we get to the kingdom of God, we're going to realize that Jesus was a man. I'm going to say something. If we would have saw what happened between 13 to 29, it would have messed us up, because most of us wouldn't be able to deal with his humanity. See, most of us wouldn't be able to understand that John the Baptist was his first cousin. Maybe they was playing kickball in the backyard, and John the Baptist kicked the ball, and Jesus got mad and threw it at him and hit him in the head. See, some of y'all don't believe that Jesus was capable of doing that. Well, the Bible said he sat down in the temple, and he fashioned a whip, and he formed a whip. Guess what he was doing? Premeditated whooping. I'm about to drive these cats out of this temple. They done turned my father's house into a house of prayer. See, we done got too religious. We didn't got too religious. See, we wouldn't have been able to understand his humanity. Oh, he's holy. The Bible said Jesus was tempted in every point, just like you and I was, but yet he was without sin. Therefore, come boldly before the throne of grace. How did Jesus live? The Bible said in John chapter 1, he was full of grace and full of truth. Every day he got up and rejuvenated his fullness. Well, I don't believe that because he was the Son of God. The Bible said, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience. Glory to God. I get in trouble for that one, won't I? Take your neighbor, say, neighbor, he was all God, yet he was all man. He was the sample son. He came. Why would he tell you to do something that you couldn't do? Why would he get mad at them while they on the boat? Because he was teaching them that they could do what he did. I'm going to move on. Jesus is quoting Luke chapter 4. I'm going to walk you up and paint a pretty picture to you so that you can understand what happened here. First of all, you need to know Jesus was not a locust-eating wild man riding a motorcycle in the woods who just all of a sudden God decided to use. The Bible calls him rabbi. Jesus was trained. The Bible calls him master. Jesus was trained. Jesus. Now, you need to know, different in our culture, the Jewish culture, they had to memorize the first five books of the Old Testament. The Torah was memorized. Are you hear what I'm saying here? Jesus knew the Torah. He knew the word of God. He knew minor prophets and major prophets. Are you hear what I'm saying? So Jesus comes down in the water, and John the Baptist is in there, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Jesus came to him, and he said, Jesus, I need you to baptize me. I'm just painting a picture. John said, man, I can't baptize you. Jesus said, you must baptize me to fulfill all righteousness. So John dunks Jesus down in the water. Jesus come back up. The Holy Spirit descends and says, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Jesus being led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil 40 days and 40 nights. He goes there. He's tempted. Amen. Devil comes to him. If you be the Son of God. If you be the Son of God. Why is he asking him if you be the Son of God? I'm going to tell you why. The devil don't tempt you and I with something that is not common to us as an individual. That means Jesus was battling his sonship. You got to catch this right here. See, you can't tempt me with alcohol no more because it's not in me. You can't tempt me with, you know what I'm saying, with cigarettes, and it's not in me. I can only tempt you with something that is already. The deception of the mouse trap is that the mouse likes cheese. It's in him. So Jesus was being tempted because guess what? He was battling that. That's why his father had to affirm his sonship. This is my beloved son. So Jesus is there. The angels came and the angels started ministering to him. Jesus came out of 40 days fasting. No food, no water. And he walks into Galilee. Verse 14, he returned into Galilee in the power of the Spirit. He returned into Galilee in the power of the Spirit. And the Bible said he gets into the temple as it was his custom. Watch this now. Paint the picture. What does it mean to be his custom? It's like a tradition. Every single week he went to church. Like you and I went to church. Now, can I say something? If a preacher comes off the street and I don't know who he is and he walks up here and he just grabs the Bible on a Sunday, boy, I'm like, man, RJ, y'all better get him and go sit him down somewhere. Why was Jesus able to just walk up and grab the scroll? Because it was his custom. Are you catching this right here? He did this on a regular basis, but it was something different about this time than every previous time. This time he had fasted and he had fortified what that Torah and those major and those minor prophets had said about him. And he got it in his thinking, I am what this book says I am. So he began to open up and he read it. Look at Luke chapter 4. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Hallelujah. And the Amplified says this right here. The anointed one, the Messiah, to preach the good news, the gospel to the poor. Watch this. He has sent me to announce release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to send forth as delivered those who are oppressed, who are downtrodden, bruised, crushed, and broken down by calamity, to proclaim the accepted and acceptable year of the Lord, the day when salvation and the free favors of God profusely abound. Now, you got to catch this right here. Jesus, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, released three words. Release. Recovery. And when you study the word favor, it means restoration. You got to catch this right here. What was he saying? You have been released. this prophetic word came out of his mouth, and it was so powerful that the people began to grab him. Why? Because he went and he sat down. Where did he sit down at? Theologically, we believe that he sat in the seat that was reserved for the Messiah. Why was this time different than any other time? After he read the scriptures before, he never sat there. But this time, something was different. He got a revelation of himself, and he sat down. And the Bible said every eye was fixed on him. They got mad, and they grabbed him and tried to throw him out off the cliff. See, people are going to get mad at you when you start seeing who you are in Christ. They ain't going to like it. They ain't going to like it when you start calling things that be not as though they were. Guess what? The Bible says that the word of God is sharp. Any two-edged sword, it divides. Guess what? When you start believing that word and start speaking that word, it's going to start separating you from people. See, it separated me from an Assembly of God church. 700-member church. I was teaching on the image of God, and a pastor called me into a board meeting, and he sat me down. Am I telling the truth? He said, Big Shadow, he said, I like you. He said, you're a great teacher. He said, but guess what? You cannot teach that we are the image of God. We are a tainted image of God. So you either change your doctrine or you have to leave. I said, I'll pack my stuff tomorrow. And I left. Because I will not change what God has revealed to me for no man. Jesus is the sample, son. He came to show you and I who we were. Tell your neighbor, say, I've been released. I've been recovered. And I've been restored. Now watch this. I'm going to give you one more verse and then one story. Proverbs 29 and 18. Just can you hold with me like 5 more minutes? Can I get it out? Proverbs 29 and 18. This is powerful. Proverbs 29 and 18. The Amplified Bible says, where there is no vision, no redemptive revelation of God, the people perish. Now watch this right here. It said, but he who keeps the law, happy is he. Now, I'm going to say something to you. It says, where there is no vision. Somebody say vision. Amplified says redemptive revelation. Hosea 4 and 6 says, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. The believer only perishes because lacking knowledge concerning the redemptive plan. You don't have to toil for nothing. Everything in the kingdom of God is received. Now, I'm not telling you to sit on your butt. I'm just telling you something. Everything in the kingdom of God is received. Jesus said, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have whatever you say. Now, can we just get Egypt out? See, you got to catch this right here. That's why when the children of Israel was in Goshen, and God sent Moses to tell Pharaoh, let my people go. He didn't take them directly from Egypt into the promised land. Because if he'd have took them from Egypt into the promised land, what would have happened? They would have took Egypt into the promised land. And here's what's happening in the body of Christ. We're trying to get people over into the promised land that have not graduated the wilderness experience yet. See, the wilderness is the place where faith is built on the inside of you, where you don't got a microwave to cook your hot pocket, and you don't got a curling iron to fix your hair on Sunday morning, and you don't got that paycheck coming when you can predict that it's coming, where you got to live and walk by faith. The wilderness experience will put within you that which you need to fortify you and sustain you. When you see the giants, you realize it's not by might, nor is it by power, but it's by my spirit. Because guess what? When I was in the wilderness, I had no water, and God broke the rock open and water came forth. When I was in the wilderness, I was sick, and God took a stick, put a snake on it, and I was healed. Guess what? It's not by might, nor is it by power, but it's by my spirit. So when I get up into the promised land, it's not about my talent, not about my ability, not about my wittiness, not about my skillfulness. It's about I have been redeemed. I've been released. I've received recovery, and I've been restored. That's why he said, I'll give you houses that you have not built. I'll give you wells that you have not digged. Why, it ain't got nothing to do with you. Glory to God. Man, y'all should be shouting. Where there's no redemptive revelation of God. Last story. I'm not going to turn it right quick. This is powerful. I'm going to show it to you in reverse. There was a man of God who was a type and shadow of the church. His name was Samson. Samson had what we call as a Nazarite vow. Watch this right here. In the Nazarite vow, you couldn't cut your hair. He had dreadlocks. See, if you say he had dreadlocks, man. I don't know how to talk like that, but he had dreadlocks. Okay? Samson couldn't eat raisins. He couldn't drink grapes. He couldn't drink any kind of strong drink because he had the Nazarite vow. Somebody said Nazarite vow. But see, in Numbers chapter 14, not Numbers, but Judges chapter 14, he had a flesh problem. And this flesh problem cost him his life. And I'm going to show you something. This is the hindrance to our inheritance. He had this flesh problem. He told his dad, mom, he said, look here, pops. He said, there's a woman over there, and I want her. I want you to go get her for me. And it was like, son, why can't you get somebody that's from, you know, your own kindred or somebody that's from your own, you know, nation? He's like, I want her. Tate neighbor said he want her. So the Bible goes on to show us, and it says for some strange reason that the parents did not know that this was something from the Lord so that he could whoop the Philistines. So we know the stories, you know. He kills, the Bible said the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson. This is how powerful it was. I want you to get this in your mind. The Spirit of God, the favor of God, the agent of restoration. And I didn't get into this, I'm going to do it next week. The Spirit of God is the agent of restoration. When everything was dark and chaotic in Genesis chapter 1, the Bible said the Spirit of God, the Ruach Elohim, hovered upon the waters and waited for the word. We talked about this yesterday. The Spirit of God right now is waiting for you to speak the word. The word of restoration. Now watch this right here. The Spirit of God came upon Samson, and the Bible said the lion came out to attack him. He grabbed him by the neck and pow, broke his neck and ripped him into pieces like he was a goat. I thought to myself, I'm a pretty big guy. I don't think I can even rip a goat into pieces. This guy not only ripped a goat, he ripped a lion into pieces. Laid his carcass there for 2 days, came back when the bees and stuff was making honey, reached down in there with the bees and started eating the honey. This is how powerful this man was. He walked under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I'm about to show you something. That's what this Nazarite vow was. But he had this flesh problem. Somebody say flesh problem. See, that's why Paul said, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I preach, I should be considered a castaway, one rejected of God and a counterfeit. I got to keep my body under, because if I don't keep my body under, even though I'm under grace, if I don't keep it under, this body will rule me. I'll have 10,000 members and guess what? Be sleeping with. No, I'm not going to say nothing. But you know, this stuff is happening all over, and we have to make sure that we stay fasted and we stay prayed up and we stay confessing the word and we realize it's not about us. It's about God. Come on, somebody say amen. So here's what happened. So Samson got his Delilah, and the Philistines kept charging her to go to see where he got his power from. You guys know the story. Now here's what happened. I'm going to show you the whole process of reverse. Samson told her his secret, that it was in his hair. They cut off 7 dreadlocks. Samson fell asleep. Now the Philistines was able to come and whoop him. The first thing that they did, when he lost his agent of restoration, they came and shackled him. And then they gouged his eyes out. I want you to catch what happened here. Samson ended up in a prison, a captive, shackled with no eyesight and no agent of restoration. See, you got to catch what I'm saying. Adam, in the beginning, when Adam lost the agent of restoration, which is the Holy Ghost, when he lost the power of God, he lost the glory coat, the first thing that Adam did is he tried to cover himself because he stopped seeing the way he was supposed to see, and because he couldn't see right, he got shackled. Are you catching this right here? So when Jesus came in Luke chapter 14, they knew what he was talking about. This is good news. If you're bound, you don't got to be bound anymore. If you can't see, you don't got to be blind anymore. That's why he told the Pharisees, if you say that you can see, then you are blind. I'm trying to tell you something today. You and I have been redeemed. You have been redeemed by the blood of his cross. I'm done right here. You know the story. When Samson's hair grew back, when he was restored the power of God, he was able to overthrow the whole Philistine. You guys know the story. I'm trying to show you something right here. Look what it says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. It says, Jesus himself went once and for all into the Holy of Holies of heaven, not by virtue of the blood of goats and calves, but by which to make reconciliation between God and man, but his own blood, having found and secured a complete redemption and everlasting release for you and I. I'm telling you right now, you have been eternally redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Come on, get the Lord a hand clap. Here. Whatever the obstacle is in your life right now, here's what I want you to do. I want you by the power of the anointing to face that thing head on every single day because you've been released. Come on, stand to your feet. You've been released. I'm going to decree this right now. No addiction has any power over you from this day forth. I decree that alcohol cannot hold you or control you. I decree right now that drugs and cigarettes and cannot hold you and control you. I decree right now that crack cannot hold you and control you. I decree right now that lust and pornography, they cannot hold you. They cannot control you anymore. In the name of Jesus, I decree that you've been released. You've been released. Come on, say, I've been released. I've been released. I'm released. Now we're going to say this right here. I decree right now you have the ability to see things the way God sees them. You have the ability to have insight into the deep, intimate mysteries and secrets and the knowledge of God. You can see what others cannot see. You see from within. The spirit of wisdom and revelation is in you. It's in you right now. When you can see God's purpose, you can see God's plan, you can see all of the heavenly potential that's been put in you before the foundation of the world in the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody say, I can see. And the last one, I have been restored. Come on, say, I've been restored back to my original intention. You believe that today? I mean, do you believe it today? Do you believe it? Well, come on, say, I'm redeemed. I'm released. I can see, and I've been restored. I'm redeemed. Come on. I'm released. I can see, and I'm restored. Come on. I'm redeemed. I'm released. I can see, and I'm restored. This is what I want you to do. I want you right now, close your eyes, and I want you to see yourself healed if your body right now is screaming that it's sick. See yourself healed. See yourself jogging. See yourself running. See yourself doing sit-ups. See yourself doing push-ups. See yourself moving your arms if you can't move them. See yourself moving your legs if you can't move them. See yourself jumping up and down. See that happening right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Right now, if your bank account is low, if your pocketbook is low, if your wallet is low, I want you to start seeing abundance. See abundance. Come on. See abundance right now. See abundance right now. In the name of Jesus, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have whatever you say in the name of Jesus. See yourself restored. Hallelujah. Now, open your eyes and say this with me. Say, I have been redeemed by the blood.